Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider this evening the Gospel of Luke. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. To begin with, I want to acknowledge, as I mentioned earlier, that this is thought of by many as the most difficult parable that Jesus ever spoke. It certainly is unusual for us to hear somebody being congratulated for being crafty and clever and dishonest. And as I was doing my research this week on this reading, I found that every commentary I looked to and every pastor I asked had a slightly different interpretation. Now, the temptation we have with difficult passages like this is to make them subjective, to just say, well, what does it mean to you? Or to say, well, maybe there's more than one interpretation that's correct. This usually is not the case, though. And as much as I love you all, I really am not interested in what it means to you, nor should you be interested in what it means to me. What we're actually after here is, what did it mean to Jesus when he told it to his disciples? And so, understand going into this that I am offering you what I hope to be good theology, but wrapped in an interpretation, one possible interpretation that I thought made sense with this parable, although who knows whether it's the correct one. We'll have to ask Jesus or someone smarter than me. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will work through his word and help us to better understand it with each passing year. So this is a parable about a dishonest man, a crook. In some translations, he's referred to as the unjust steward. Now, normally, someone whose bread and butter is injustice is not the kind of person that we'd want to look to as an example. From the time we're children, we hunger and thirst for justice. We have an understanding built into our conscience of what is fair and what is unfair. And we want fairness. And that stays with us our whole life, doesn't it? We want justice. If somebody treats us unfairly, we want them to pay for it. If someone steals something from you, you want it returned. But more than that, you want a fair punishment to be given to that person to teach them not to do it again. If in business affairs, the same thing applies, doesn't it? If, for instance, you pay someone to put a new roof on your house, you expect them to do it right, and if they don't, you expect them to own up to their mistake and pay for it. Or when you go to get a car, who here loves talking to car dealers? Go to get a new car or lease a car or buy a used car, it doesn't matter, it's all the same, right? You've got to haggle and bargain and spend hours and hours just to be treated with justice, just to get a fair price. What's that all about? We hunger for justice. And when we begin this reading in this parable, and it says, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. Whose side are we on right away? Well, for goodness sake, if this guy is being wasteful, he's stealing from his master, he should be brought to justice. Shouldn't he be reprimanded? But be careful what you wish for. Jesus says, with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we realize that God is a perfectly just God. It is right for us to expect to be treated fairly by others, but we have to also realize that God holds us to an even stricter and perfect standard of justice. And so if we really demand justice, we have to remember what we justly deserve from God. We confessed a few minutes ago, eternal punishment for our sins. If we want God to keep a perfect record of right and wrong, we should lament, as we sometimes do, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? It is a fact, though. God is just. He does keep records of all our deeds, perfect records. God is the perfect bookkeeper, and he promises to hold each and every person accountable for the deeds that we do in the body. And so you'd think, in this parable that Jesus tells, that this dishonest manager won't possibly get away with his wastefulness, with his thievery. The master fires him from his position. And that's fair, right? That's what he deserves. Can't keep that job if you're going to abuse it. But then, as we read on, what does this guy do? He goes around to all of his master's debtors and he says, "Come here, how much do you owe my master? Okay, take the bill, sit down quickly, and change it. Where it said 100 measures of oil, just put 50 down." He claims to do all this under his master's authority, when in reality we know what he's doing. He is trying to buy himself some friends so that when he's tossed out on his butt, he's got a place to stay. What's going to happen when the master finds out what he's done with the books? Will he be thrown in jail? Will he be executed? Will justice be done? Or will the master commend the dishonest manager for his shrewdness? That's what happened in this story. In what world would this ever happen? In what world would you commend a dishonest person? The very world into which God sent his Son. The Son voluntarily left his high position in heaven and came down to earth. And while he was here, he was his Father's representative. He didn't do his own will, he didn't speak his own words, but he carried out the will of his Father. And what did he go around doing? But he associated with tax collectors and sinners, with prostitutes, all kinds of unsavory people. And who were these people? They were his Father's debtors, just as you and I are. They were people who owed God the price of their lives because of their sin, just like we do. And what did Jesus do with these people? He would come to them as to us, and he would say, "How much do you owe my Father? Come here, sit down quickly, change the bill, don't even cut it in half, mark it zero." And he claims to do this under God's authority. Meanwhile, the scribes and the Pharisees hear this and they scoff. "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" What's going to happen to Jesus when his Father finds out what he's done with the books? Will he be punished? Will justice be done? Yes. Justice will be done. Those debts still need to be paid by someone. And so Jesus paid every last one with his sweat, his tears, his blood, and his very last breath on the cross. And then the Father commended him. Commended him for his dishonest management. He raised him from the dead. And by Jesus' sacrifice, he bought himself some friends so that when you and I are out of work and out of life, we'll have a place to stay with him eternally. If you're willing to hear it, Christ was the most dishonest bookkeeper of them all. Rather than holding us accountable and keeping accurate records of our every sin, he changed the ledger. And that wealth that Christ gained for us, in a sense, it was dirty money pilfered from his Father. Righteousness, holiness, eternal blessings. We didn't earn those. They weren't part of our 401k plan. In fact, we deserve to be fired. Little pastor joke, fired, getting ya. But Jesus gave us those things unjustly. Jesus became sin for the sinners. He became weak for us weaklings, lost for us losers, dead for us who were dead, and he paid down the debt of the debtors. Through Jesus' sloppy bookkeeping, we have gained friends in high places. What a friend we have in Jesus, who is willing to do that for us. What a friend, because of that, we have in God the Father. What a comforter and companion we have in the Holy Spirit. And when our wealth and life fails, it is they who will receive us into eternal dwellings. Lucky for us, isn't it, that our Lord is not a just steward. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to confess the Christian faith using the Apostles' Creed.